This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. My name is Audrey Raj, and Angeline Tay is keeping me company on the show today so I don't talk to myself all the time. Thank you, my friend, for making me sound less crazy.
Well, I don't know if I can ever help you out there, Auds, because you do sound quite crazy sometimes.
Thank you.
All right, we've got stories affecting some pretty big companies today: Uber, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, but first, a story on
Grab and MDEC.
Mm-hmm. So there's a new platform that's just launched yesterday to combat local traffic woes. I mean, with the rain for the last couple of days, we all know what it's like to be congested on the road traveling bumper to bumper.
Sucks. So this platform is called Open Traffic. Grab, MDEC and World Bank Group, they're working together to launch this initiative right here in Malaysia. So what it does is it provides traffic data from Grab's GPS data streams to address traffic bottlenecks and improve road safety in major cities in our country.
Mm-hmm. So Open Traffic provides Malaysia's traffic management agencies and city planners with access to an open data set to better manage traffic flow and, you know, make investment decisions on local transport infrastructure.
Yeah, and this is really great because it's provided at no cost to governments via an open, it's an open data license. So Open Traffic translates Grab drivers' GPS data into anonymized traffic data to map traffic speeds on roads for analyzing traffic congestion peak patterns and, of course, your peak travel times. Mm. Even local government agencies can use this data to enhance existing traffic management systems, such as optimizing your traffic like control and coordination.
Yeah.
And I do mean when I say
finally,
you know, this is happening, and thank God for such an initiative.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when you travel on the road, you see traffic lights that's just red and there's no cars.
And you're waiting waiting.
You know, all these things can be improved with data, right? So, so by easing city congestion during peak hour traffic, it also helps reduce carbon emission and saves commuters time from less traffic congestion. So with Grab, they have this data sets in the Southeast Asian region. They now can work alongside with local government agencies to make transport more accessible for 620 million people.
That's a lot of people that they can help. So Malaysia is actually the second country to gain access to this Open Traffic platform. They started out in the Philippines, and this was launched like back in April 2016, last year, exactly a year. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, apparently it was a success. And they made a number of enhancements, such as improvement in traffic signal times in the city itself without the need for additional infrastructure investment. It was also lower transport costs for commuters, and it apparently improved the quality of travel time along most of the congested corridors in Manila.
Mm, and this is as part of its ongoing partnership with the World Bank Group. Grab has also been invited to participate in the Open Transport Partnership, or OTP. This is actually a global initiative incubated by the World Bank, and they are building the foundation for the next generation of public-private data partnership. Of course, this facilitates a responsible use of private sector big data for public good.
So in the near future, we might be witnessing some improved traffic in our beloved city of Kuala Lumpur. I cannot wait for that to happen.
Me too.
Okay, moving on. Of course, when there's Grab, there's also
Uber.
Yes. And it's, you know, Uber and its continuing saga of people leaving the company. The most recent, Rachel Whetstone, Uber's head of communications and policy, she is the next one out of the door.
Before joining Uber, Whetstone spent 10 years in Google doing a similar job. Whetstone was essentially leading the charge of for communications team post-harassment scandal. So this comes after a series of departures of Uber executives over the last few months, including, you know, the SVP of engineering, Amit Singhal, and President Jeff Jones.
Yes, and according to current and former employees who requested anonymity, apparently Uber CEO Travis Kalanick and Whetstone had some tension between them and occasionally clashed over how to handle external communications, especially in times of crisis. And, you know, they've had, like, so many scandals lately, so...
Yeah, and over the past few months, Whetstone had steered Uber through several firestorms. A grassroots campaign urged people to delete the Uber app after the company was erroneously perceived to have capitalized on President Trump's executive order to bar immigrants from, you know, several Muslim-majority countries. In addition to a former employee in a public blog post detailed a history of harassment at the hands of an Uber manager, prompting an internal investigation and questions over the company's culture.
Hmm. You know, apart from Whetstone, other Uber executives have recently quit. Last month, Jeff Jones, a former Target executive, left Uber because of what he characterized as disagreements with leadership. I remember this story. Arvin and I were talking about it. He basically said that he came into Uber to do certain things, thinking the company culture was such, and it just wasn't. And he realized that this was down to leadership, and so he decided to quit. Mm. Then, of course, there was Brian McLennan, a top engineering executive working on Uber's mapping initiatives. He also departed the company to return to his home state of Kansas, where he plans to apparently explore politics.
Mm, interesting, right? And there's also Ed Baker from Uber's growth and product team. He exited in February, and also Amit Singhal, we talked about earlier. He's a top engineering executive, said to have failed to disclose a sexual harassment complaint against him at his former workplace, and he was asked to resign late that month.
Yeah, and these are the firestorms that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Whetstone, who led the communications at Google for a decade before joining Uber in 2015, she's not actually said what she's going to do next, but Jill Hazelbaker, a former political operative for Senator John McCain and a longtime colleague of Whetstone's at Google and Uber, will apparently step into Whetstone's global public policy and communications role. Hazelbaker joined Uber in 2015 from Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll definitely keep tabs on what's happening in Uber. Yeah,
definitely. All right, before we head into this story on tech giants conquering the cloud computing industry, we've got some music first. Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Audrey. Okay, so we all know how cloud computing is a big, big market. And we know who the big players are. Your Amazon, your Microsoft, your Google. But according to an article in Forbes recently, the cloud computing scene as we know it could see drastic changes in the next year or so. Like 2017 is going to be the year to make or break it. As cloud players aggressively, they're making moves to claim a bigger slice of the industry.
Yeah, but you know, clouds and the sky, it's an infinite space.
Mm.
Yeah. So apparently, market research firm Gartner projects that by 2020, cloud computing will be a $383 billion market. And this year alone, it is expected to grow by 18%. So the Amazon Web Services, or AWS, is currently the public cloud market leader with Microsoft Azure and Google Cloud Platform at the second and third. But Amazon could be in trouble because they don't seem to be growing fast enough.
Yeah, so this Forbes article we're talking about cited a study by the Synergy Research Group, which showed that AWS, Amazon, they've maintained their hold of a 40% slice of the market. Mm-hmm. But this is despite displaying no year-on-year growth, okay? This, while the next top players, your Microsoft, your Google, and IBM, they combined for a 23% growth, showing about a 5% growth over the year.
Mm, but it all started with Amazon, right? AWS has the advantage of being the first major player in the market when it launched in 2006. That's like 10 years ago.
Mm.
It gained immediate traction with the development community and it expanded to offer a variety of cloud solutions. What AWS did was it disrupted the traditional data center market and proved that computing resources can be offered as a service.
Yeah, and then after that, Microsoft entered the cloud game a bit later. They launched Azure in 2010. Like 4 years later.
Mm.
And what helped Microsoft was their presence in enterprise computing. So for many of their existing customers, it was simply a matter of converting them from traditional server customers to Azure users.
Mm. Then came Google, late to the game, with their cloud service launching only in late 2011. But it was only in 2015 that Google consolidated its cloud presence as a business unit when they brought in a former VMware founder to head their cloud computing unit.
Yeah, that really made a difference. And for Amazon and Microsoft, their cloud divisions are emerging to be their new money makers, you know. So AWS is Amazon's most profitable division with a gross of $12.2 billion and a profit of $3 billion with a margin larger than its online retail business. Did you know that? So, and Azure also displayed a similar impact on Microsoft's earnings, posting a 93% revenue growth year on year. Like 93%.
Gee, that's a lot, man. And then Google pula, you know, has yet to release its GCP's revenue figures, but a report released at the end of Q3 2016 by Deutsche Bank estimates that GCP has a revenue run rate of $750 million. Mm. And Google, of course, as a company, still makes most of its money from search and advertising.
Mm. And the big money in cloud computing is still in large enterprise IT. So unfortunately for Google, it has a relatively short history of serving these enterprise clients. So people are concerned with Google's capability to nurture and support these enterprise clients.
Mm. But Google has outlined its plan to make its cloud services more attractive to enterprise adopters, showcasing their developments in infrastructure, machine learning and security. It is also set to invest $30 billion in additional infrastructure with facilities in the Middle East, Singapore and Oceania expected to go live within the year.
Mm. Oh, and recently Google also put in like $14 million in funding for the Avere systems. This is a company specializing on increasing data center performance because speed and capacity are crucial for enterprises that seek to shift their infrastructure to the cloud, right? Mm. And transferring terabytes of data require resilient facilities.
Yeah, and so Google is obviously facing a demanding task of overtaking Microsoft for the second spot and more so catching up to Amazon. But it is not just the top contenders Google has to compete against. The rest of the chasing pack is comprised of veteran IT infrastructure providers and agile startups. And let me tell you, they are keen to compete. Enterprise computing mainstays, IBM and Oracle, are also shoring up their cloud capacities despite, you know, trailing Google.
Mm. And premium turnkey providers are also vying for niche markets here. So companies such as CloudShare combine infrastructure and platforms as a service to provide easy to manage and automated cloud services. Mm. They're in the mix as well.
Yeah, so indeed, 2017 is shaping up to be an exciting year for cloud computing. And it is interesting to see how the web giants are, you know, taking on all this, all comers.
Yeah, so we'll be keeping an eye on this definitely, you know, since it's a $383 billion market.
Like, I don't know how many figures are there.
Yeah, but you just said, you know, cloud was an infinite market. Did you not? Right. Okay. All right. Time for more music. Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be right back after some Jimi Hendrix, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
That was Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angeline and Audrey. We're about to wrap up the show, but before that, a quick roundup of the stories that made the Enterprise Biz Bytes list for today.
Mm-hmm. So we kicked the show off today with a story on Grab and MDAG working together with the World Bank Group to launch the Open Traffic Platform in Malaysia. This, of course, in hopes of combating local traffic woes. We're the second ones to get into the Open Traffic Platform, and it worked for the Philippines when they did it. So fingers crossed, we'll see smoother traffic on Malaysian roads soon.
Fingers, toes, legs, eyes, everything crossed to get better traffic. All right. From Grab, we then moved on to Uber, but not so good news for the ride-hailing app. Uber has lost a string of top managers in recent months as the company has dealt with, like, I don't know, countless scandals over its workplace culture and, of course, its executives' behaviours, you know. Mm. Executive behaviours. that exodus is continuing with the exit of Rachel Whetstone, the company's head of policy and communication. She's the one that has helped the company weather all the recent firestorms. So she's leaving now, and it's a big blow.
Yeah. When we then took a look on the cloud computing players in the industry and talked about who could be the number one by the end of the year.
Interesting race, just like the English Premiership title race.
But remember, you can find the links to all the stories we talked about today on the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcast page, which you can find on our website, bfm.my, or the BFM mobile app, which is super cool and customizable. Mm-hmm. So go check it out on the App Store, or if you're on Android, it's also on Google Play too.
Yeah, all right. We're about to make way for the Breakfast Grill replay. That's up next. This morning, Junin Ng spoke to Jabbar Sadiq, the founder and editor of the Malaysian Insight. It's a new news portal that he founded after the closure of the Malaysian Insider last year. Everyone's been talking about how Jabbar's funding this new news portal, so we take the question to Jabbar himself. That's up next at 12:30 p.m.
And that's a wrap for Enterprise Biz Bytes today. My name is Angeline Tay, together with Audrey Rutsch. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.